To wrap up this year, over the last few weeks before the carols, we kicked off a series on Christmas carols that we sing and the lyrics of the songs and how powerful they are. We went through Joy to the World. We also looked at, what was the other one we looked at? Fundamental Blank. Oh, Holy Night. It's been a big week. And this week we sang Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Isn't hark a cracking word? I'd encourage you all to use hark at Christmas lunch, okay? all you guys over the seniors over here turned into a bunch of crows. Hark, right? Hark. Do you know what hark means, Bill? Wouldn't have a clue. But it sounds great in a Christmas song, doesn't it? Hark the herald angels sing. Hark the paper, the newspaper, who knows, sings. Hark actually means listen. Listen. And the herald angels sings are the proclaiming angels. So listen as the proclaiming angels sing. That's actually what we sang about just before, and we'll sing it to end the service. I love Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It brings back great memories for me. I had a great youth pastor when I was a teenager, and I remember singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, caroling with a bunch of mates in an old, Camry. And so it was a youth pastor's car, you know, like, soup it up. And so the youth pastor's like, "You have a Camry? You should get one, man. They're so cool." Anyway, so I remember going out this one Christmas. My youth leader, his name is Liam, he called my parents. He's like, "Mr. and Mrs. Hamilton, can Aaron come out? We're going caroling," right? And my parents were just like, "We'll get rid of him. Yep, that's good. Yeah, all right, pick him up." And so we actually went caroling. But this caroling, I remember singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing very loudly. And the reason I remember it so beautifully is we actually sang it from the car windows with megaphones. My mate Liam loved megaphones. Every opportunity, we'd get a megaphone out. And we literally went to all the big Christmas light streets, you know, where everyone's like, "Oh, it's so beautiful, the Christmas lights." Then these guys, these young teenage boys with megaphones, "Hark the hair, boo!" You know, like, and so we sang. And some of my fondest memories are Hark the Herald Angels Sing, because we were so badly singing and making an absolute menace of ourselves. If you're a teenager here, buy a megaphone for Christmas. Put it on the list. It's so much fun. Maybe that's why in 1649 to 1660, caroling got banned. Did you know that caroling, I mean, you know the carolers that rock up. I saw some at the IGA the other day, busting out, walking around, caroling. But caroling actually got banned for 11 years. 11 years, this guy named Oliver Cromwell was the Grinch. And he banned Christmas caroling because he said, it's not reverent enough. You're ruining it. And I thought, maybe I've got a great, 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 great grandpa who had a megaphone back then. And he went, "That's enough of that," right? But it's an amazing song, this Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's, you know, obviously old language. It has that nostalgic feel to it when we use those lyrics. But once again, I want to challenge us to think of it differently. Maybe think of it like this. Listen, the proclaiming angels sing. You know, this song was written back in 1739, 282 years ago. And like many of the, you know, the carols that we've been talking about over the last few weeks, started off as a poem, got sort of turned into a song. It was actually written by Charles Wesley, brother of John Wesley. And John took all the credit for it. The younger brother wrote it, but John took the credit for it. And it was actually specifically written, taken from a passage of scripture in Luke 2, 8 to 14 on the Christmas story. I want to read this right now. It said, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on peace and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.'" I think what I love the most about this carol are the lyrics. You know, Charles, who wrote it, brought it to life, but he actually had this full understanding and understood the full gravity of the simple statements that were happening in Luke. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. God and sinners reconciled. I just want to focus on these lyrics today to remind us all what Christmas actually symbolizes and the significance of the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago. You know, the song is loaded with truths that we can actually hold on through this season. The powerful moments that occurred when God made a way to us through his son, Jesus. God and sinners reconciled. If you haven't connected the dots yet when it comes to Christmas, that line can summarize it all. Can summarize it all. Right from the beginning, when we read about Adam and Eve in the garden, they chose to disobey God by eating the forbidden fruit. And for thousands of years after, they would suffer the punishment of that sin, expelled from the place God had designed just for them. The gift he originally gave to them, Eden, was taken from them. They were cast out of God's perfect plan in the Garden of Eden. But God's heart, ever since that moment, wasn't that separation would continue, that they would continuously be, you know, feel the separation, they would see it and know it. Quite the opposite. The reason that Jesus was sent to earth was to see restoration and reconciliation occur between God and his prize creation, man. And instead of coming all in his glory and anger and frustration and you stuffed up and let's figure this out and let's fight it out, he came in the form of a humble baby, born to a young virgin girl. The lyrics of the song say, "Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more should die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth." Charles, the writer, was fully aware of what this Christmas mission that God was on. Jesus was the beginning of the end of punishment and death itself for anyone who would believe in Jesus. Through the Christmas season, many of us, you know, we receive our wrapped gifts from friends and family. Imagine if you came out on Christmas morning and you know how like everyone said, there's always one kid that hands out all the presents, right? You know the kid, they're like, "Can I hand out the presents?" And they find a present for Uncle whatever and then a present for the sister and the brother. Then they find their own one and they're like, yes, right? And you have to sit and wait as they unwrap their gift. Well, think of it like this. If there was a gift under the tree that had your name on it, the greatest gift you could ever receive, it's just sitting there with your name on it. And when it comes to your turn, they say, "Here's a gift for you. As here's a gift for you." And I go, "Don't want it. Put it back." And it stays there. The Christmas gets packed down. It just sits there in the room. The name's on it. But no one's unwrapping the gift because you don't want to unwrap it. You're the only one that can unwrap it. Well, I actually believe that's the truth when it comes to Christmas and what a lot of us do when it comes to the gift of Jesus. God sent his son to save us as a free gift. You didn't do anything to deserve it. In fact, our behavior should probably disqualify us and land us on the naughty list. We shouldn't have got a gift. But that's not what Jesus was about. He doesn't give gifts based on performance. His gift is one of grace. And it's available to anyone who wants to accept it. Anyone. Grace is the perfect gift to those who don't deserve it. Given by God himself through his only son, Jesus. That's what he did at Christmas. He went, "You don't deserve it, but I'm going to love you anyway. You stuffed up. You made me angry. You got it all wrong. You yelled at your kids. You kicked the cat. And he was probably amening that. But he's like, "I'm giving you the gift anyway. It's free. Because I love you." You know, the gift was made fully aware to us 33 years later after this baby boy was born. Jesus lived a perfect life without sin, without blemish. He'd be taken away by Roman soldiers. He'd be brutally whipped and torn apart, crucified on a cross to take the punishment of our sin. Every sin committed from the very first sin committed by Adam and Eve was taken on that cross. Why? To give us the ultimate gift, access back to Eden. Access back to Eden, the perfect gift from the beginning. Back to the tree of life. You know, in the garden, God said right from the beginning in Genesis 2, you read about it, he said, "You can eat from any fruit you want. Just don't eat from that tree of life." And some say, well, why would God kick them out? Well, because they'd sinned, he didn't want them to live an eternity of sin. He removed them from the garden. He said, not yet. When you're right with me, then you can eat from it, eternal life. You're back in Eden. The free gift is a relationship with God. You know, when Jesus actually rose again 3 days later, you know, we celebrate that at Easter, on Easter Sunday, Jesus made a way back to eternal life with God himself. He made a way for God's sons and daughters, his creation, to get back in relationship with him. Just like it was right from the beginning. God's plan was always to have conversation with his creation. Relationship with his creation. Sin stopped that plan for a moment, but that's why Jesus came. To restore everything that was broken. You know, the lyrics in this song say this, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. God's all about second chances. He's all about restoration. Our second birth happens when we receive Jesus. Maybe your spirit's laying dormant today. Maybe you're like, you know what? I don't think you understand my story, Az. I don't think you understand how messed up I am. It doesn't matter. I'm just as messed up, but I got the free gift, and that's why I'm here. I accepted it. Maybe you're here today and you know your spirit's laying dormant and you know there's more. Can I encourage you this Christmas to seek out Jesus and open the gift for the first time? Unwrap it. Say, Jesus, whatever you have for me, I want it. He will give you the life you've been looking for. You know, at last week's carols, we talked about looking for some light. I talked about my mate who was a hitchhiker. Free gift. I remember at the end of that night with Jake, him trying to figure out how to get Jesus. I want this. I want to keep this. What do I have to do? I'm like, it's a free gift. You know, it's crazy in this world. So many people hear that Jesus is a free gift, but it's too simple. So what we do is we go, I don't want the gift. I'll put it back under the tree. I'm going to try and be good. I'm going to try and be good. Even for Jake, my mate, who's searching, I still touch base with him. He calls me Brother Bear. How are you, Brother Bear? I said, good, mate. You looking for Jesus still? Yeah, but I've been doing some other stuff as well. And I'm like, it's all about Jesus, mate. Come back to Jesus. All right, Brother Bear. I wonder if tonight you will do like the song lyrics say. Maybe that you'll listen and hear the proclaiming angels sing again over your life. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth. Can you hear them? For those that know Jesus, singing this song with conviction is a powerful thing. You join the proclaiming angels in declaring who Jesus is. For those that have let him in their heart, you know, there's no fear of death. Because you know Jesus has won. And as you go through the Christmas break, don't let the lyrics leave your lips without believing the words written. Declare and proclaim, get excited that 2,000 years ago, indeed God came to earth on a rescue mission for you and for I. Stop trying. Just accept the gift. Maybe your heart's going off right now because you know you're broken. You know you've made some really big mistakes in 2021 and you need forgiveness. And maybe right now you've written this year off and you're going, man, I just want it to end because this can't get worse, but you know it's getting worse because of the ongoing effect of the decisions you've made. Well, can I offer you a free gift this year? A fresh start. Wherever you're at, Jesus offers a fresh start, and it's a free gift. All you've got to do is say, I accept it. I accept you, Jesus, and I'm going to follow you. What I want to do right now as we wrap up, it's like us to close our eyes. I want you to think about the birth of Jesus. God coming to earth on a rescue mission. Because he loved you that much, he wanted you back. He didn't want to leave you in your brokenness. He's like, I'm here to restore what's broken. And it's a free gift. Maybe you've known Jesus for a very long time, but you've lost sight of what Jesus is all about and you've turned it into a religion. Can I ask you to leave that at the door and pick up the free gift again? If you want me to pray for you, you go, you know what, God, I need to know you. I don't need to know about you. I need to know you. If you're here today, I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand. I just want to pray a blessing over you this Christmas as you seek him again. Just raise your hand across the room so I know who I'm praying for. There's hands all over the place. Yep. And then I also want to offer this opportunity for those that don't know Jesus but want that free gift. You're like, you know, I want to follow Jesus from this moment forward. I want to leave my past behind. I want to take that free gift and I want to be restored and I want to be new and I want to start following you again. If you want me to pray for you right now, I'd love to be able to pray for you. So just looking across the room with eyes closed, it's so personal. I'd just love to be able to pray a blessing over you as you enter this point. So if you'd like that, just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for. Yeah, I see that hand. I hardly believe this. People's hearts pounding at the moment going, you know what, I do need Jesus this Christmas. Just need it. Just don't be afraid. Just show me your hand so I know I'm praying for you. Yep, there's another one. That's good. Jesus, I thank you for Christmas. I thank you for what you did through the birth, your birth, but also your sacrifice 33 years later. God, we thank you that you love us unconditionally no matter what. God, I pray that the free gift of who you are, this free gift of grace, will be poured out amongst our church over Christmas. And may we be people that can actually pass on that grace to others. May we actually show that same grace that you showed us. May we love unconditionally this Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.